Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
Dave Moore on Today FM.
How are you?
Another banger of a show, but it's so different from Derry Girls.
It is, yeah.
Was that really deliberate from your point of view?
Do you know, it wasn't totally. I love mystery as a viewer. I love trying to, you know, piece a puzzle together. And I always wanted to have a crack at one. I guess what Derry Girls allowed me to do is do it this way, do it in this very Irish black humour, female-led way, because there was a bit of trust there that that might work. So it is it's a very particular tone, I would say, but it's still got a lot of that Derry Girls DNA.
Now, where did you get the inspiration of Saoirse being a TV writer? I mean, write what you know, they say.
Yes, yeah. They do. And I certainly have been doing that my whole career. I think it was a really good way in for me. Just like, she was the first character I thought of because, like, what she does is quite close to what I do. But
yeah.
I also, it gave me an excuse to vent. Do you know, I could just get a lot of frustrations out.
I love you, the fact that you said that, because in this, your parents, for example, there's a wonderful scene where you go home and it's that thing of like, what? Are you in London doing the right thing? Like, it's literally, I can imagine you've had that exact conversation.
Yeah, totally.
And there's a lot of talking down of Saoirse's brilliantly amazing career.
Successful show.
Because it just, but I love the fact that that's how you approach it, as opposed to, you know, holding a spotlight and going, look at this amazing, you really take the mickey out of it.
I love that. A lot of my friends are not, like, most of my friends aren't in the industry.
Yeah.
And after Derry Girls, they kept saying that I was going to win an Oscar. And I was like, you can't win an Oscar for TV.
Yeah.
And then, like, it got to the point where they would say, like, don't put yourself down. Do you know? And it's like, no, you actually technically can't. So now I just go, I will probably win an Oscar for this. That's fine.
The cast is incredible, like, from top to toe, honestly. Do you have much of a hand in that, or do you trust a casting director?
We have. I'm involved in all that, and we have an amazing casting director, Carla Strong. I have two incredible executive producers I've worked with for a long time, Liz Lewin and Caroline Letty. The director, obviously, who directed Derry Girls, Mike Lennox.
It's
a big team effort,
okay.
Really. It's all about the ensemble stuff. It's all about, we've a lot of incredible actors here in this country. It's all about, can they work together as a group? You know, I call the gang in this like a three-headed beast. You know, they're individual, but they have to move as one a lot of the time. And that's the hard bit. So I was fans of all these actors individually, but we had to get them in a room. And once we did, we were laughing before they said anything. We were just like, you look like a bunch of friends. You're going to argue immediately.
Yes. You've chosen a mystery to give us, but it's not a straightforward mystery. This is spooky.
Yes.
Like, where did that come from? Like, are there banshee stories and things that like have crept around your childhood? Like, cause it's not straightforward. Like, murder mysteries happen all the time, but this is a murder mystery and a good slice of the paranormal,
of creep.
Yeah.
I love a ghost story. I think every Irish person loves a ghost story. And I think this idea of being maybe like the ghost not sitting in the room with them, but of being haunted by something you've done or a decision you've made, or, you know, your younger self is something I was very interested in. It's just also just a really gorgeous tone, and the landscape lends itself to it. So we played around with that a lot. And we use Scooby-Doo quite a lot as a reference point.
Fantastic.
Me and Mike would often say, like, you're going under a take and saying, could it be like, you know, 50% more Scooby-Doo? You know, that's the way we work.
Have you thought at all about what's next? Because often when I'm talking to someone who's promoting something that is now coming out to everyone, you've already moved on to the next project and the next project. Like, is there a new Irish thing that you're...
There's something I'm writing that's new and very different. Again, it's comedy. It's very, you know, it's very silly.
I like to hear that.
Yeah, but I don't know what's, like, that's very early days. That's still, I'm still writing scripts. And then I'll see what happens with this. I'd love to do another one if people watch it.
Oh, they'll watch this.
We'll see.
Look, as I mentioned, the Father Ted actors in it. There's a line in Father Ted, one of the nuns asks Sister Assumpta to ask Father Ted, and Father Ted's a bit of a celebrity. And one of the nuns whispers in her ear and she goes, where'd you get your ideas for your sermons, Father, right? So I hate to be that guy, but where do you get your ideas for these shows? Because there's so much depth. Like, I have to believe things like this happen to you. Like, like for example, there's a moment where Roisin, who is the script writer in the thing, which reflects a little bit of your personality, I think, or your scenario, certainly. She goes home and she goes to the attic to find notebooks. And do you remember, like, writing those things as a kid? Like, were you always... Yeah. Coming up with character names, and or is this something you just did as an adult?
Yeah, I never, like, I wish I had actual notebooks from that time that, you know, and was as organized as Saoirse is in the show. Mm. But in a way, yeah, like, I always kept little scraps of ideas. Now I stuck everything on my phone.
Sure.
But yeah, always, if I hear, I'm like a magpie or something. If I hear something good, I'll remember it for, like, my... Saoirse Monica Jackson actually said to me, you know, you forget like where you were 5 minutes ago, but you'll remember something I said to you 5 years ago right. That was funny. And I think that's true of me. You know, if it's a good story, I'll never forget it. Yeah.
And then because those stories and those people maybe, or those characters creep into your shows, are people ever annoyed at you? They're going, I told you that in private. And now you've made it into
Once I got into a bit of trouble, but it was fine. A friend of mine had told me something that happened to her family, and it was a big scene in Derry Girls, and I'd forgot by the time I'd forgotten because it changes it so much
yeah,
as well
yeah, yeah.
So I'd forgotten this piece of it actually was true, and she was like, Lisa, you know, I'm sitting down for my dinner with my daddy and he doesn't know. So that, but they just, I think comedy you get away with a lot. I think if you were stealing stuff and putting it in serious drama, you might get into trouble.
That's
with
a very, yeah, you're, that's a little funny thing, yeah, that's the world record, massive TV show. Don't worry about that.
That joke was based on me, you know, people like that, yeah.
Having written Derry Girls, where it was about, started with 16-year-old girls, I know the girls who played them maybe weren't that age at that time, but they were still young actors and a lot of the cast were young. Since then, they've gone and blossomed into, you know, huge careers. Do you look at those guys and do you feel the pride you should feel that you developed this platform for them to then go and showcase their talents to the world?
Like, it's crazy. Like, someone said to me recently, "Oh, do you watch all the stuff they do?" And it's like, I would never leave the hot. You know, they're all doing about three things at any one time. But yeah, I'm incredibly proud of them and the show and all the actors in the show. You know, they're all adults, but I always call them the adults, you know.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Before I let you go, we're doing a thing on Today FM where we're trying to find people's favorite ever Irish song. Like, do you have a song in your head that you'll go, that's my favourite Irish song?
I can't believe what's just popped under my head.
Go on.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what this means about me.
Go on.
My Lovely Horse.
My Lovely Horse. You're literally singing off my hymn sheet here. I sang it yesterday in the studio and said, that should be the best song ever.
Banger.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, so good. Yeah. Neil Hannon, Divine Comedy.
Yeah.
Congratulations on How to Get to Heaven from Belfast. I love it. I can't wait for everyone to see it. Thanks a million for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on this incredible show.
Thank you.
He is proud.
Very, so proud, very proud.
Yeah, you should be. It's absolutely amazing. And can I just start by saying that because the three of you have such wonderful Irish names, it continues this incredible tradition I love of giving the rest of the world difficult to spell and pronounce Irish names. And obviously, Sinead and Roisin have a few fadas. They do a bit of that. Mm-hmm. I would pay good money to hear Jimmy Kimmel try and say Keelan. I would pay so much money for that.
Oh, there's people I know that I grew up with who still can't spell Keelan. So... It's been nice. We started in Ireland. We started this press tour in Ireland. So it's been a nice start. And I've been able to just ease myself into. But when we go back to London next week, that's when it's going to start getting interesting.
Because even I think for Irish people, and now I mean this in the nicest way, but the unnecessary consonants that are in the middle.
Absolutely necessary.
Like, I mean, come on, Keelan.
Absolutely necessary. Oscar Elga.
No, you're.
So she'd on Tavok.
On Tavok, therefore. No, you're absolutely right. It's an amazing show. Like, can we go back to the start where you're all. I presume something happens, like you get an email or a phone call from an agent that says, hey, there's a new Lisa McGee, and you all just stop and say yes. Is that what it was?
That is exactly it.
Pretty really? Much it, yeah.
Yeah.
And a chemistry read.
Chemistry read.
In London.
Oh, there's a whole big process now. It's very stressful.
Oh, really?
Come here to me. But it was exciting and brilliant. And even just to have a little snippet of the script. I remember the email coming through with the first scene.
Right.
It's actually, the first thing I read of Saoirse was when the audience will meet her as well. And she's in a work meeting and she's not having a great morning.
Oh, the work meeting is
fantastic.
She's
a wee bit hungover. She maybe doesn't know where her car keys are. I was like, identifiable. We can work with us here.
There's some relatability here,
yeah. And then you just go through the process, and we got to meet the girls. Then we all came together in London on the May, and shooting was starting in the June. And I actually remember walking across the road, listening to an English gentleman on Google how to pronounce Keelan.
Oh, right.
Practicing this, because I was like, I cannot show up here and get Keelan's name wrong.
An English gentleman on Google.
And it was an English gentleman. And
did he pronounce it correctly?
Anyway, well, I was just so nervous and stuttery anyway. I don't know what I said. So.
Something ridiculous like, hey, girl.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, you.
So great to see you.
Yeah. In the first episode where myself and Keelan pick up Roisin from, the airport, that was our chemistry
read. Right.
So you can imagine we don't know it. Well, I certainly didn't. I mean, these two are a lot more professional than I am, but script in one hand and plastic like school chairs.
Of course, that to are mimic the
to be
car.
In the car, yes, getting in yeah, and yeah. out of the car and thinking, is this working? Is this, are they buying this? And thankfully, they did.
They did. You all bought it together.
But yeah, that was the reason.
And had you ever, any of you ever worked together before? We're all brand new to meeting each other.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Netflix sent us out for a lovely dinner in Belfast, and we had, you know, we just had the chats, and yeah, it was brilliant.
Now, I need to ask you a question, Roisin. They can't hear you now, but the magic of radio. How are their Belfast accents?
10 out of 10. No, they really are.
They're actually really impressive. I mean, in fairness,
yeah, everybody the world will see and hear that. They
but as someone who's, you know, you are from there. I mean, like if when someone puts on an Irish accent, you know, 99 times out of 100, we all snigger in the corner. Sometimes people get it right. Cate Blanchett, we remember Veronica Guerin, incredible. But it only happens every now and again. But were you really sitting in the corner going, "That's not how I would say that," or "That's not"?
Honestly, I was sitting in the corner going, "What's the lines? What's the lines?" Roisin, don't mess this up. Lisa's looking at you. Lisa's looking at you. Maybe you're not doing it. So no, I was far too selfish to be worrying about anybody other actors' accents.
And Sinead,
just worrying about my own stuff.
And Sinead and Keelan, had you guys like? I mean, isn't there family and maybe on your side? Sinead?
My mom is from Belfast, so I spent a lot of time out there. I went to school for a little while there. So
did you feel like you had a bit of an advantage then? Maybe.
Possibly. Now, there may be plenty of people in Belfast who think there was no advantage there at all, judging by the sound of her. I've done Northern for a few other jobs as well. So, it wasn't new.
And Keelan?
No, I'd done it before on a show, but it felt more terrifying doing
this
it
time.
This time because it's home.
Yeah.
And you know,
I know
how we are about people and their accents, and when people come in and do accents, and we all get very
past remarkable.
Yeah. Very past remarkable. And I didn't want to be past remarked upon. By
you won't
anybody.
Be. You won't be, honestly.
So there was a hell of a lot of fear at the beginning. But then it eased off and it just became playing and just became, like I said a million times before, just became Dara's voice rather than an accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Roisin, are you a big, massive Father Ted fan?
Oh, aye.
Okay, snap,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Ard O'Hanlon is in this. Mm-hmm. How were you with meeting Father Dougal?
I went to bits. I was literally like, I am going to go to bits here. This is too much. And it was in the first week of shooting. And we were up in a lovely hotel in Carnlough. And I knew he was coming in. And I'm actually getting like a bit sweaty. It's the sweat. Just the thing. I was like, oh God. Like, and then you're kind of going, just be normal. And this weird thing about, do you say,
of course,
by the way,
you
know, like you were a part of our furniture in our home growing up. My daddy was a massive fan. Like the laughter that you brought us, thank you so much. Or do you just
play cool, actor to actor,
like pretend you don't even really
peers,
know.
Yeah.
No, it was he was brilliant and he's
and Father Stone, Michael is in it as well.
Yes, Michael Redmond
played the guard. I'm such a huge fan. I've yet to be defeated in a Father Ted trivia quiz, by the way.
Ooh.
I've asked the listeners many times. I've been to Father once, here's a test for you. I won a table quiz, a Father Ted table quiz with a team of friends, right? We won it. And our prize was a bottle of Jacob's Creek Chardonnay. What year, Roisin, was the bottle of Jacob's Creek? Why was that a prize? It was a very important prize to win.
What year?
As in, what year did you
win it? What year was the bottle? What vintage was the bottle? This is the Father Ted level of knowledge I'm talking about.
Get out of the house, man. What are you doing?
Father Ted is trying to sneak out with a bag for a picnic, and two bottles clink together, and Jack is in the corner, and he stirs and he goes, and he goes, drink. And he goes, no, Father, there's no drink. That's something else. And he goes, Jacob's Creek Chardonnay, 1991.
Oh, brilliant.
And that's the prize I won. They have the label on it and all.
Was it like vinegar?
I never drank it. I know, I have it at home as a thing. It's displayed. Jacob's Creek Chardonnay, 1991. That's how obsessed myself, my wife, are about
it.
Is
it a little glass case?
Yes.
It's a classic.
It is the greatest. Although this will be very soon rivaling that for people's favourite Irish show, because this is so good.
Have you seen all of them?
I've seen, here's the thing. Oh. So I got it, thank you, Nicola, the other day, and I've steamrolled through 1 to 5,
okay,
which means I have 6, 7, 8.
So you haven't got 6, 7, 8?
No, and I haven't.
Yeah, with the bit where we go into space.
Yeah.
And Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, of course, was.
She was so lovely on set, wasn't she? She was really nice.
She loved to sing.
She wouldn't shut up, actually. God, I love her.
Really good. And then the submarine, and then sorry.
Say no more.
Stop yourself.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for the show. It is unbelievable. Everyone's going to absolutely love it. On Netflix, How to Get to Heaven from Belfast, the latest Lisa McGee, starring these three legends. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dave Moore on Today FM.